Hey everyone, it's Tronster here in the basement for the Basement Game Dev Podcast. I have with me on the sofa to my left, Brett Gorell.
Yeah, it's Gorley.
I still don't pronounce that right.
No, that's all right.
After all these months.
Or years.
Okay, it's been years. It has been years. And
he's
on
a little too much to drink already.
What the heck? Okay, on the other sofa, I have a fantastic set of game developers. I will let them introduce themselves to say who they are and where they work in whatever order they deem most appropriate.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm Brianna, and I work at ZeniMax Online, and I do the effects.
And I'm Taylor Fisher. I work at Firaxis Games. I am a concept artist, so I just draw ideas, get people started.
I am Michelle Menard. I work at Zynga East. I'm a systems designer and the author of Game Development with Unity, and I do the maths.
There you go. And if you're looking for that last-minute Christmas present or Hanukkah present, because, you know, you have a lot of presents you got to get, or does anyone know, does Kwanzaa has presents, right?
Sure.
Okay, well, regardless, you should go and look at the Game Development with Unity book that Michelle put out. It's on Amazon.com. And, you know, the podcast is not officially associated with it, but Michelle's here. She's awesome. The book is going to be awesome. You should go and get that. Learn Unity. Make video games. Also, two other announcements. We have MAGFest coming up in only a month. It is, like, right around the corner right now. It's awesome. If you like video game music, if you like video games, if you like waking up at 3 a.m. in the morning and you want to go to
arcade
an 80s
games.
Arcade... MAGFest is your place. Yeah, it's right there in Washington, D.C. at the National Harbor. And you're going to see a lot of indie games and full games and bands who are playing video game-based music. And you should go to MAGFest.org, buy your tickets, go there, and go to the vacation that you deserve to have.
I love you, Rare Candy.
Rare Candy, woo.
Great band at MAGFest. And the very last thing, just a huge shout out to both Dave Reichley and Showtime, who after so many months have continued to listen to the Game Dev Podcast. Thank you guys for your support. And we're going to go and hit a topic that none of the guests or even Brett were ready for. We're going to talk about violence in video games.
Oh, shit.
Whoa.
This is not language in video games.
You can tell. Now you know why we have the explicit rating. And, you know, so a lot of video games, you know, they're all over the spectrum right now. And I, before we go to any specific questions, I want to know, like, what is your opinion on violence in video games? You know, if you have one particularly on men versus women or just violence in video games in general, like, is there any, do you hold opinion with how violent video games are these days?
I mean, okay. That's a loaded question. As far as like violence in video games, it's a form of entertainment, it's a form of media, it's a form of expression, it's a form of speech. The game development studio has a right to put violence in for whatever reason they, you know, if to express whatever idea they deem necessary. There is no problem with that. My issue comes in with blatantly sexist, offensive, stupid violence that is there for no reason whatsoever except to make an impression and a bad impression. God damn it, Hitman. God fucking damn it.
Hitman.
The Nun trailer.
Manhunt is your favorite
the
game?
The Nun trailer.
Wait, what yeah. What in Hitman? I am speaking honestly from here. I've not played Hitman.
I haven't either. I saw the trailer and it was enough for me. Yeah. There was a trailer with... Dude.
Nuns.
Okay, so Dominatrix he's sitting nuns. There. There's a circle of nuns dressed full habits. You're like, nuns. Fabulous. Strip the habits off, they are dominatrix assassins now, underneath the nun habit. And they try to kill him, and then he beats the living fucking shit out of them. What does this have to do with the Hitman universe? Nothing, as far as I can tell. What does it have to do with the character development?
It's
nothing.
It's like a weird snuff film, kind of like sexualized violence.
And like,
it's
why
very...
are nuns dominatrixes?
It's very disturbing.
Who knows?
Yeah. It's very, I mean, this is really interesting because I agree too. I think I think video games are art, hands down. Like, I don't think there's, you know, any discussions like movies are art. That's
yeah,
not a discussion.
Freedom of speech.
Exactly. I mean, it's a form of communication. It's a piece of artwork. It's a whole thing. But when it comes to video games, there is definitely an issue with women and violence and games. I mean, I know Tomb Raider has been like,
oh.
You know, especially a couple of months ago was a really hot topic. for the idea of her being sexually assaulted in a couple scenes. And a lot of people were like, oh, why is it a big deal? It's a character development. And it's like, well, why does a woman have to be sexually assaulted in order for that to be character development? When was Batman sexually assaulted in order to make him an interesting character?
Yeah.
I think if you had a scene where someone touched Superman's junk, everyone would be really uncomfortable. You know, like, it doesn't make Superman a deeper character because of that. It just, you alienate a huge audience of people where that, you know, that's actually happened to them. And that's not something you throw around very lightly.
Oh yeah, definitely. Like, I mean, when I watched the Tomb Raider trailer, I mean, I felt really uncomfortable. I mean, you had these scenes.
Oh my God.
And it wasn't just her, like, getting awkwardly groped or whatever. Like, it was the, like, she was, like, swinging around, like, being thrown. It was, like, maybe, I don't know, like, 2 minutes of just her, like, being thrown against the wall and making all these, like, I'm hurt sounds and whimpering and whining. And
They're not I'm hurt sounds. I mean,
They were sexualized.
I challenge anyone to go to find the Tomb Raider gameplay trailer. I don't remember which con it was from, but find the gameplay trailer, close their eyes, and tell me what the hell is going on in that game, because I will tell you right now, it sounds nothing like someone getting shot, someone getting thrown against a wall, someone drowning. It sounds
very sexualized.
It sounds like a B-rated porno, and it's really disturbing, because you find stuff like that, and I feel bad because I have a little bit of a vendetta against that kind of stuff, but sexualized violence against women is disturbing. I mean, it's like a lot of games have a thing against violence against children. Mm-hmm. A lot of games, a lot of MMOs, you cannot kill the children spawns in the game.
You can murder everyone in the town.
But you can't kill children.
Kids. Can't touch them.
Don't do it. You can't do it. So, I mean, it's one of those things, and I think...
Well, why
is it... Grand Theft Auto as well. There's no children in the world of Grand Theft Auto.
It's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
No one wants to do
it. You can't kill kids in Skyrim.
No, you can't.
You can
kill chickens left and right.
You can kill those motherfucking chickens.
I mean, would you do that as game... if you were a game developer, I mean, is that a decision you would continue to have persist in your own games?
It depends on the game.
I think it has contextualized... relevance. I mean, again, if it was an issue, if it was a topic in the game,
why are you murdering children?
Yeah,
is
I mean,
an important theme to your game.
Yeah,
is it trying to say something.
Yeah, I mean,
okay,
like,
okay, but
yeah, like, I think Heavy Rain's a good example.
Heavy Rain was fantastic
because Heavy Rain. There are, I mean, your child. I mean,
spoiler alert.
Careful, spoilers.
So we said there's a spoiler alert going here. We're about to talk about Heavy Rain. Spoiler.
Yeah, so we're talking about Heavy Rain. But anyway, you think about it like. Children getting murdered. That shouldn't be part of a game, but this is part of the story.
And part of the main character's journey.
Exactly.
It's very much part of his character development.
And the game does a very good job of kind of like carefully walking around it, being careful not to...
They're respectful.
Not to be like, whoa, little dead kids. You're like, that's not, you know, you don't do that. I think I tell people a lot of times, like, you don't make rape jokes. And I know a lot of people will be like, well, sometimes, you know, there's a situation. And I mean, I actually think like Louis C.K. is a great example where he makes not the joke of people who have been raped, but that some people, you know, make a joke of people who think rape is okay in that situation, like to make those jokes. And that's an okay, but it's like kind of situation for it, but it's a context thing.
Mm-hmm.
You can't make those kinds of discussions without meaning. Without purpose. I think it's that way for violence. I think it's that way for like sexualized violence. I think it's that way for violence against children. Violence can end against anyone. Senseless violence is, of course, you know.
Well, that's the part I don't understand. I'm okay with violence for a reason.
I mean,
your game is a message. It's a message to the world. It's a message to the players. And if you have if you're portraying violence for a reason, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But it's when they just put it in for the shock value or to like, get, like, you know, people talking on the forums. That makes zero sense to me.
Yeah, or to be like, it's cool.
It's what?
No. Yeah.
Yeah, like, that's a weird thing I've noticed recently. People have been, like, trying to harden up their characters, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Like the newest Max Payne, he was, like, way more, like, hardcore. And, like, I don't know, in the earlier Max Paynes, like, I was reading this whole, like, in-depth article. Like, I haven't played, like, the earlier Max Paynes, so I'm not sure if I'm qualified to be talking about this, but... there was this article about this, and this guy just went into detail about how, you know, in the earlier Max Paynes, I mean, he was like kind of happy, you know, like, or not happy, but like, you know, he was a little more, silly, I guess. Mm-hmm. And then like in this newer one, like he was just really depressed all the time and like
just angry about everything in the world.
He was just
angry, and you know, just angry to be angry. Yeah. And it was like he lost a lot of depth that way because
he saw the movie before the game was made.
Yeah,
or something.
Yeah, but I think that's a part where it comes. I mean, there are definitely games though. Like I know we mentioned many many times in the past, Dynasty Warriors. Yay! And stuff. You know, and I do admit I like games like Yakuza.
Mm-hmm. And they're violent. They're very violent.
Where for some reason you have to be extremely violent to
Point
save.
Point of game, kill thousands, done.
To save an orphanage, thank you. As a Yakuza lord. But still, I think, I don't think people should take violence as a norm. I think you should definitely always still question, no matter how base or simple a game mm-hmm. seems.
It's and how motive. You portray it, too. It's not just because it's violence is violence. There are definitely ways to do it tastefully and ways to do it very gory.
Exactly.
And-
mm-hmm. Exactly. Like, I know Yakuza 3, my favorite thing is that you can take, like, a bicycle and throw it at someone. And it's just, yeah. like, it's very simple, like, ka-chunk, like, you hit them with a bike, 10 points. And it's very silly. It doesn't look realistic. It's not. It's a very slapstick kind of form of violence. It's not.
Well, this is an existing game. So, you know, all mm-hmm. of you game developers, you know, whether you're doing the actual game design or even just making concept art or the sketches or the effects, like, I mean, where do you ever draw the line, or do you have a preference? Like, do you ever find doing some violence in games to be justified, or do you ever find a place where it's like, you know, this is too over the top, you know, at any of the studios you've worked at?
So, coming off of developing Fear 3, and I enjoy shooters, I'm not a fan of gore, so the gore aspects of Fear 3 were not a huge draw to me as a gamer, even though one of my responsibilities as a programmer was making sure people's heads and limbs could get blown off. So, at that point, it's like, yes, I'm supposed to do this, the game is supposed to have this because of the franchise that it's part of, but personally, I actually enjoyed the Australian/Japanese version of the game a little bit better, where there's no blood and nobody's limbs get blown off. It's, you know, because the Japanese game, or the country of Japan, and the way its ratings in Australia is the same way, you can only have certain levels of violence mm-hmm. in the game, and so we had to take all that stuff out. Mm-hmm. I mean, I enjoy Halo probably more than most of the other shooters like Call of Duty, because it's not realistic. I go around and I shoot aliens. And that's fun, because it's not realistic, but I enjoy the mechanics of the shooter without, you know, the trying to be uber-realistic and, you know, everything that could happen, you know. Like, Call of Duty is a bit more, you know, based in reality, so to speak, for the sci-fi in the violence, or the non-realistic in the violence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, at some point it can be just too visceral. And mm-hmm. if you're going the route, why? Mm-hmm. Why are you displaying that much information to the player? I mean, there mm-hmm. really needs to be a reason. Otherwise, it can be just greatly disturbing for mm-hmm. no real benefit mm-hmm. at all to like the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, I actually think some games that are... I think Dead Space is kind of in a weird, like, mid-zone for me, mm-hmm. where I think, like, the Dead Space series... had just enough gore that I was a little creeped out. Like, I had to make sure I turned on, like, that one lamp in the living room.
I mean, there
room.
Were reasons why you would do it, but yeah. there should be a reason.
Yeah, it's just a little, just to creep you out. But, I mean, that's kind of like a horror game, and it's meant to do that. But I think also games like Silent Hill is a really good example.
Oh, I love Silent
so. Where
I know, it's
so good.
Everyone has to whisper.
Oh, my God.
We're all whispering right now. This is ridiculous. But okay, I'll go with it.
But Silent Hill's a good example where the gore in it is pretty horrifying. Like, there's some mm-hmm. terrifying shit in that game. But a lot of it, like, you can go, like, there's dozens of articles about the psychology of the horror within Silent Hill and what makes it good and what makes it scary. And it's not just that stuff is, you know, gonna...
Well, there was thought behind it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just... I mean, yeah, it's not just senselessly making you pee your pants in the dark. It's doing it with a reason, you know? And that makes it good. I mean, it's like
it's atmospheric instead of just mindless.
Yeah. I mean, but there's also like B movies. I mean, you can go see like Alien versus Predators, you know. But you can also go see, you know, another movie that's maybe still has that horror factor, but has people are gonna hate me for saying this, a little bit more substance.
Alien versus Predator.
Yeah, but I mean, but B movie fans around the world are going to hate me. But I mean, yeah, I mean. Substance goes a long way.
It goes a definitely. Long way.
I mean, if you had a choice, I mean, would you ever try to make a game where one of the axioms of the game would be for it to have violence involved in it? Or is that something you would try to shy away from?
I know I was working on a personal project recently that was dealing with violence because I got really obsessed with the idea of, like, the traditional Wendigo. And the idea that the Wendigo is, like, a spirit of consumption. It's this, like, overindulgence.
The Wendigo.
It's a Native American.
It's a Native American thing. I mean, I feel really bad. I mean, pardon me for anything. Of course, I mean, I will admit my huge basis for this is, like, Wiki and, like, a bunch of other articles. But it's this idea that what it was is that in times of, like, hardship, people would revert to, like, cannibalism. And I find that fascinating. And the Wendigo was the spirit that you gave into when you started to cannibalize people. And it had this idea of consumption. And so I, like, ran with this idea and started concepting these monsters that were this idea of overindulgence. So there was these, like, dogs that had this rabies-like disease. And they would consume other creatures, even other monsters of the same type, until eventually their bodies would overheat and they would catch fire. And so you would have these, like, flaming corpses. And it was terrifying. And it's, like, super creepy idea. But it was this idea of, like, the overripe fruit. The, like, over-consumed kind of thing. And it was a really, like I wanted that, like, richness of, like, kind of green to the flesh red. And that, to me, like, had a point. And it was pretty gory, like, but I mean...
But there was a message. There was a reason behind it. It wasn't just there for...
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, you're still supposed to be pretty freaked out by it. But, I mean, yeah, it was... it came from something. It wasn't just like, oh, blood is scary.
Yeah. Ooh. So I'm not a designer, but to get to Tronser's question, I mean, would I make a game that, you know, was had violence as, like, a core thing, as a core part of it? I think that there are some games out there that don't work without violence. I mean...
That's true.
Yeah, if you're playing Left 4 Dead, if you're playing Borderlands 2, if you're playing Team Fortress 2, you can see that I have a big thing for co-op shooters. I love co-op shooters. But they're so fun. Unchecked,
they make decisions.
Yeah, definitely. And, like, those... I mean, violence is the core mechanic. You have a gun, and you shoot the gun at the other people. And, I mean, that's pretty much it. So it's kind of how you handle the violence and, like, what the violence means within the universe, though. I mean, in Team Fortress 2, you got this, like, cartoony corporation that's pitting you against these other people, and you respawn all the time, and there's gratuitous violence, and people explode into blood, and, you know, blood everywhere.
Do you ever handle that? I mean, I love Team Fortress. I love being medic or engineer, but when you're actually doing work, like doing effects artists, like, do you ever have to do Gibbs? Do you have to do blood? I mean,
well, that's it depends on the game. I won't comment on my current game. The game I worked on before this, Transformers. No, not really, not in Transformers, because they're robots, so there would be, like, sparks and, like, pew, pew, and then space lasers would happen and explosions, and then, like, a black hole would happen, and it was all energy just, like, flowing in. So in that game, no, but I know that, so I worked at an effects outsourcing house called Effectsville, and I got to look at a lot of other cool projects going on, and, you know, some of those projects were, like, 90% blood. Like, just, here's blood squirting, here's blood splattering, and that was cool, just looking at what everyone else was doing, and, you know, a lot of times they will make things like destructibles, which is, like, you know, buildings falling apart, or crates exploding, or Gibbs, so it's part of the effects artist's job, too, that and making materials, so, like, you know, a lot of times they'll make, like, the water shader, or, like, you know, like, a post-process volume in Unreal, if we're using Unreal, or, like, other game engines, too. Or like fog, or like, yeah, effects artists do all sorts of things. But yes, part of the job is making blood if you're working on a game that has gratuitous blood and Gibbs and chunks coming out.
Okay, and so the one thing I then have to throw out to everyone, you know, doing all this stuff, knowing that, you know, there is some violence out there. We may have worked on something or thought of working on something that may involve some violence. Is, do you ever think of the children? What do you think of the children, you know, in the games? Like,
I think they should buy our games.
If it's rated M, no, they shouldn't.
Oh, yeah, no, they shouldn't. They shouldn't buy our games if they're rated M. Like, that, I am so grateful that the ESRB exists and that... So,
and parents and retailers, parents especially, should follow it.
Yeah, definitely. Like there was a reviewer who posted a review recently. He said, yeah, I played, you know, this game that I'm reviewing with my 14-year-old son.
the game was, you know, it was a M-rated game. It was supposed to be like 17 plus. And I was like, why are you playing this game with your 14-year-old son if you're a reviewer? I mean,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Would you show a, like, N-17 movie to your 14-year-old son?
Yeah, no. Yeah.
What's the difference?
Yeah, like, why? What, this is like the equivalent of a film critic taking their 14-year-old son to an R-rated movie and be like, yeah, this is like a really violent movie and I brought my son to it. And it's just like,
why?
What? Why did you do that? No, stop. Mm-hmm. It was very upsetting.
I mean, people put ratings on these things for a reason. A lot of effort goes into, like, you know, respecting those ratings. If you're a parent, please pay attention to what your children are playing. They're there for your safety and for your child's safety. Games are an art. They're a medium. They're expression. There are themes. And there are adult themes out there. And if you're an adult, power to you. Play away. But if you're 13, you're 14, your son is 12, your daughter's 12... they shouldn't be playing some of those games. Be aware. Just be aware.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, like, it's like any art form. I know you don't, you wouldn't take your child to a gallery showing of a painter who does nothing but, like, human body part sculptures, like, gored and thrown about a room. Like, if you're worried about that being an issue, and you're going to go, like, explore this art form, and that's, like, a problem... or it's a topic, like, that you don't want to have, like, to bring up at that time, or you don't think it's a topic that's appropriate, I mean, be aware of it. There's no excuse to go in and spend $60, mm-hmm. however much you're spending on something that you have, that's going to communicate with you with, and to go into that with no forehand knowledge of what that is. Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, they shouldn't censor games. That's not what we're getting at. It's just, you know, the rating is there for a reason. It's there to protect you. It's there to protect your children. And there to protect the developers.
Mm-hmm. It's a heads up.
Yeah. Just look at it and don't ignore it.
Yeah.
It's funny. I can't help but just think of the art of video games sounds Smithsonian. Mm-hmm. And I went to it way back in September. And I remember one of the pieces that was, like, right off to the edge of it. And I don't know. Have any of you been down there? Michelle, you went there. And Brett, I know you went down there. Did you see the giant piece that was done that had, like, a whole bunch of TV screens? And all the screens were showing, like, low-bit, 8-bit digital video game stuff, except for one screen that just was zooming in and out of, like, a naked woman.
Uh-huh.
And what was really interesting to me was not what was on the screens, but who was hanging out in what areas of that room. And I went by the whole exhibit about 4 or 5 times over the course of an hour and a half or so, because I don't know, I was going in and out of it. And every time I'd stop by the room, and I was curious, and I'd look, and on one side of the room, I'd always see, like, a bunch of, like, older dudes across from the area that had the one TV. And then on the other side of the room, I just saw all these children just kind of, like, dancing around, kind of looking at the screens and whatnot. I don't know, like, did any of you have a similar experience, or what did you see when you went into that room? Was anyone else in there?
It's been a long time. I don't remember. And there wasn't that many people there. I'm sure there was some people looking, but...
I mean, it was... I don't think it was quite that dichotomous, but it was similar. Like, because, you know, younger children, they don't recognize it. They don't see it. They don't notice it. They're more drawn to the flashing colors, the lights, the dancing. But they don't quite necessarily know that it's forbidden, because it doesn't necessarily have, like, oh, it's rated T, it's rated M, it's rated N17. Mm-hmm. Therefore, it must be amazing. It's just one TV out of, you know, hundreds. They're like, eh. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, and so I wasn't too surprised to see it, but it was amusing. Did notice that, but... I think it would have been interesting to see, like, if they actually did, you know, maybe sometimes put up posters being like, you know, 17 and older only over here, with, like, maybe a rope or something, to see how that changed the dynamic in the room. Because it is very easy to miss if you're not watching every single TV.
Well, I even noticed on places like I'm a really big fan of CG Hub, the artwork forum. And it's a courtesy thing just to label your thread with, you know, like, N for nudity, like, so on, like, B for blood and gore, like, so on and so forth. And not because they're like, oh, like, this is gonna, you know, get you, like, in a tizzy and you're gonna freak out. But just so, like, you know, you don't have a super awkward moment where you have, like, tons of naked lady reference, like, up on your thing when you're on your computer, when your boss is walking by and you're like, no, it's art, I swear.
It's for reference. I didn't know.
It's for reference.
Oh, no.
I mean, but it's a precautionary thing, and it's to not take that at a certain point, I don't know what to say to people.
Yeah,
you can only handhold so much.
Yeah, definitely. It's like clicking on the not safe for work link while you're at work. I mean, that's
you
exact
know
same
better.
Thing.
That's it was labeled, thing. And you chose that path. You
do it. It's the exact same thing as handing your kids an M-rated game. I mean, it's like, what did you expect? Like,
yeah,
it's very upsetting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As a game developer.
And then
I mean,
don't blame the developers. You made the decision. It was labeled.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Very good. Well, you know, we are about out of time. This is a Tronster. I want to go and thank Brett for co-hosting. I want to go and thank Brian for doing audio. And most particularly, I want to go and thank our guests, Brianna, Michelle, and Taylor for sharing your opinions, your wisdom, your knowledge in the game industry. We hope everyone has a fantastic holiday. And remember, no matter what religion, no matter what you practice, mistletoe is universal. So be careful.
Be careful.
This is Tronster from the basement saying cheers.